Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And our engineer, who is
David Nieves.
Hey, David. And we couldn't do Lying on the Beach if it wasn't for our sponsor, Handle Stick. And we'll tell you more about Handle coming up a little bit later in this podcast. But first up, we all know what fake news is. And now it's all about fake videos. If you haven't been following the news, you may have seen that, you may have seen one, you may have known it, you may have shared one on Facebook and not even known it. And in fact, Peacock Network, which is part of NBC's new streaming channel, they have a TV program called The Capture, which is all about a security video, which has been faked. And that gives you an idea of what that's about. So what can we believe? What can't we believe? To answer that question, that's why Lying on the Beach brought in an expert. Peter Sissons has joined us. Hello, Peter, from San Francisco in his beautiful red apartment. And he is with a company called Yaza. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Lois.
Hi, David.
And let's tell the folks at home what Yaza is about. It's a new platform that authenticates the place, time, and creator of each video. And Yaza calls it certified reality. And Peter Sissons is the brains behind Yaza. Peter is a product-focused entrepreneur who started four other companies. He also volunteers his time as a mentor for startups through the European Innovation Academy. Last year, Peter was named among the 23 most powerful LGBTQ people in technology by Business Insider. And Peter, welcome to Lying on the Beach. We appreciate you joining us. And I guess my first question has to be, how big a problem is fake videos? Is it just something that's like a little tiny trend, or something that's going to be a tsunami that we have to deal with?
I think, first of all, thanks for having me. It's a delight to be on the podcast and see you and Lois, and meet you, David. You know, there's a problem that started at the very beginning, I think, when the advertising model was developed for monetization on the internet. And what that led to is it incentivized extreme points of view, because fake news, fake videos are shared 10 times more often than real news, because they're obviously sensational or somehow attention grabbing. And basically it's now, monetization is a battle, it's a clickbait battle. And that means that if you're going to get clicked, you've got to say more and more extreme things and show more and more crazy things so that you can generate more and more advertising dollars. Because if you just tell the truth, unfortunately, that doesn't attract as much attention as an outrageous lie. And so I really believe that the core of the problem started when we started monetizing through advertising, but in particular, really incentivizing people to be extreme in order to get the clicks they need to make money on the internet. And so if you take that core model and you apply it to what's happened to Facebook, you can see how extreme views, if you get a post that's extreme, you react more to it. You're like, really? And you share it, or you ask about it, you engage with that content. And that means dollars for the poster and the advertiser. And so that, I think, is the root of the problem. And so the tools are getting better and better. So the problem is beginning now, but given the rate of technology advancement, imagine what the world will be like 5 years from now. I remember even in 2016, a video going around of Obama saying things he never said, because with deepfake technology, you can go in and you can actually reanimate the lips to say the words that you want, and then use machine learning to figure out the voice and speak the voice back in his voice and the way he talks, and have people say things they didn't say. That video was pretty good. Imagine what that video would look like in 5 years. Just look at what they can do in movies. Look at what they can do in gaming. Look at what they can do with flight simulators. You can make anything look real. And it's only going to get harder and harder to tell real from fake. And if you can't figure out what's real anymore, everything breaks. I mean, not just the internet, but democracy breaks. I mean, because truth, I mean, democracy runs on information getting to voters. And now the path to voters is going through these big platforms who are monetizing extreme content.
I also think, though, if there's a way of certifying reality, like you were saying, there's a way to say this is real, I'm afraid that the people who fake things can then fake that certification. It seems like a vicious cycle of, you know, it's like a little bit like, yeah. I was thinking Dr. Seuss, the Sneetches, you know, they're going to, each one will outdo the other one, and you're right back to the, you know, stars on your belly.
In addition to the Sneetches, you're absolutely right, but in addition to the Sneetches, we have hackers, right? And right. The problem with technology and security technology, authentication technology, is we're always in an arms race with hackers, right? And just as we get more sophisticated, they get more sophisticated. And so there's two approaches out there for this. One is at its most basic, forensics. If you remember when that Ukrainian airliner was shot down over Iran, there was a video. The New York Times had that video in its possession for 24 hours, but needed that time to authenticate the veracity of the video because it was a cell phone video from a stranger. That's a problem. And so rather than trying to authenticate after the fact, the other alternative is you just create a new channel that's a closed channel to get content from point A to point B. That sounds really boring, but it's the core of what we're doing is creating a closed channel, an airtight, hermetically sealed network. And the only way to get content into that network is with the camera that's built into the app. And then that camera won't even post unless it can validate the location and the time. And then we go an extra step and authenticate that against our servers to figure out whether that makes sense. And I see a question.
Does that mean every cell phone on the planet would have to have that chip in the camera? Otherwise,
not a chip.
If I shoot something, you know, if I shoot something here in New York City, I see something and I get a video of it. If I want to share it with the world, I can't because I'm not part of that closed system. So how do we get to see that? Even if
actually,
it's real?
You can. And so this is what part of what we've done is all of our content is on a leash. And I think that's the future. If you think about video, little bits of video run around the internet, millions and millions of them. And anyone can grab those bits of video and throw them into iMovie and get busy. And if they have more sophisticated tools, they can weave together whole stories. They can pull pieces of people's videos and create these wonderful things that aren't even true. In the case of Yaza and the approach that we're talking about, think of it more like to answer your question, because everything's on a leash, you can share from Yaza onto Facebook, onto Instagram, into LinkedIn. You can tweet, you can do everything from within the app. But the difference is what you're sending is a link to our content. We never send the file. And that allows a couple of things. Record everything in HD because the files are so big that you couldn't send them normally through a messenger. But when it's a link, it's instant, doesn't use your data. But the other advantage is that, and when that is shared and shared again, so it's shared on Facebook, first of all, Facebook can't see it. It's in a container that we control. So it's on Facebook, but it's still on Yaza. And I can go into the app and flick a switch and the content disappears everywhere it's been shared and reshared. Even if it's gone viral, it disappears from the internet, boom, like that. And so that's content control. And I guess the best way to think about, you know, there's the forensics, digital watermarking, trying to detect trace the sources with blockchain. There's lots of solutions out there, but I believe in most cases that's still an arms race. People will outwit stuff like that. And the only way I think to solve the problem is you lock it down and you tether it. And I think that's the future, is that that way all content on the internet is linked to its source. No free floating content, everything linked to its source. That helps a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you take those links and you put them into a highly secure Fort Knox fortress type of server environment like we built to protect it, then share it only with encrypted links and prevent resharing if you want. They're smart links. I guess another analogy is, we're not out to replace Facebook. There's 3 billion users. We don't have any such delusions. However, you can use mail when you need to send a letter. You can use FedEx when you absolutely positively need to get it there overnight. I remember they're all old ads. I can use Facebook, and if I don't care or I don't have to prove anything, that's fine. But if I absolutely positively have to prove that this happened here and this is when it happened and it couldn't possibly have been altered, then I use Yaza.
The problem, you know, is, I think,
the target audience for this. I mean, we get what you're saying, and we could see our own personal needs, but where is your growth? Who really will be your first customers?
Well, our first customers found us, and this is another interesting thing about the advantages of launching in unusual times, is COVID has forced a massive behavior change, the fastest behavior change of 7 billion people ever in history. It took about 6 weeks, right? Amazing how fast information can flow. And suddenly, all these people are locked down, and the people that we're reading about and hearing from and actually starting to find the platform are realtors, and we're like, realtors. And the reason was, is they needed a way to do house tours that were socially distant. So with the way the app works, because it's got sharing and text and everything, you record these house tours, they get located on a map, and you can play the map like a story. Like, so they record the neighborhood, the schools, everything. They record the houses. And then you go to that part of the map in the app and you hit play, and it plays the neighborhood. It turns it into a story. And realtors love that because they're selling without being there. They're 10 places at once because their video avatar, if you will, is in each of these homes selling. So it had nothing to do with authentication. It was COVID that brought our first batch of users. And then we signed up 2,000 in 2 months in 40 states. So we knew that there is something fundamentally good about the map interface and the way the content is organized. And, you know, map is the perfect way to organize content about places, not a file system. So that resonated with them. But the genesis for this started 4 years ago when I saw what was happening on Facebook and realized that fake media wasn't just a nuisance, it was a threat.
But,
and
you know,
that's what I'm worried about.
I know it's a threat, and I get that 100%. But the problem really is on the user side. I'm afraid that most users of Facebook and everything else, they don't care that much. It's not like I see a news item, and if I question it, I immediately Google it to see if there's any, if it's true or fake. But most people, if they see something they want to see, even if it's something that's not true, they're so thrilled to see it that they share it. They're not looking for a watermark or for it to be certified. They're just using their own desire to say, this is exactly what I think. That really happened, as far as I care. I'm going to share it with everybody. So it's going to have that viral quality to it, real or fake, whether it's certified, not certified, if it has a watermark, does it have a watermark? That's my concern, is that it's the users who are damaged, not the
Yeah, I'll go back to
the platform.
Absolutely. The users are damaged, and it's trying to go back to my economics. It's an externality. In other words, like everyone's individual behavior is not aligned with the broad incentive of fixing the internet, right? Yeah, we all want to fix the internet, but nobody's actually going to be bothered to take the time, right? And you're right. For most people, particularly young people, they're just sharing jokes and funny stuff, and it doesn't matter.
And even political stuff. They're sharing political stuff, but if it aligns up with their beliefs. If you are believing that the environment's in trouble, then and you see a video that shows
psychology
that, you
101. We all learn that, right?
People look for basic news.
I want to add something to that, Steve. A lot of people, when they share the fake videos and people call them out on it, it's a very embarrassing situation. Their credibility is out the window, and they are dark for many days before they come back on Facebook. Look, there's always the clowns that don't care, but I've been involved with a lot of fake videos recently, and it's like people are scorning them. So people are starting to say, wait a minute, before I send this, I think we're kind of transitioning into that area. I want to check that, becoming more of a Steve Greenberg, going to Google and checking it out.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on a certain segment, but I'm telling you, a lot of people I know, when I've called them out, have basically said they don't believe my call out. You know, like I show them that from Snopes or whatnot, that this is what you just said is not true. This is not Obama creating a virus, you know, in a lab that we're now, you know, all that is not true. But yet they're like, oh, I don't care what that says. I still think it's true because they want to believe it's true.
Right.
So
and
they
now
continue
there's a subtle
down
difference
that path.
There. I think that's a great point, and it's absolutely correct. But there's a subtle difference between saying, look, this website that establishes the veracity says that's not true, versus here's a video that's guaranteed to have not been edited, altered, that I took of that speech, and I can prove that that video that's circulating is wrong, that it was altered. So it's more of providing the tools for those who care. It's more like for those who need to get it there overnight.
Yeah, but Peter, Steve is talking
about it's
Steve
there.
Is talking about an attitude of people. He reminds me, what Steve is trying to prove right now is he reminds me of the woman that walks into her bedroom. Her husband is in bed with another woman, and she starts screaming. He goes, what's the problem? And he goes, there's nobody there. You're crazy. And after a while of her wanting to believe that everything is okay in her life, she just walks out and said, whatever I saw really didn't exist. There's people that want to strain her. But Steve, as time goes on, David is laughing a little too much. I don't know what he's all about. But the point is that I know the people that you can tell them anything, you know, about Trump, and they're not going to believe you. I get that, and it's a very frustrating thing. But as time goes on, when you constantly prove that these people are wrong, you know, they're going to shut up. You know,
I see it more for, at least initially, for government, like when the president of the United States speaks, he does his speech, he or she does their speech, then that video would be put on YouTube, but the government would put on YouTube certified. And right. I could see, you know, the head of Sony Pictures or the head of
journalists,
Apple
speaking. Activists.
Yeah, they'll put it out and say, this is the real thing. That I can
anyone
see.
That has
I think
to
you're never going to get rid of people who, you know, who tamper with the reality of
no, of course
whatever
not.
Happens
we cannot change. I mean, so we can't change human behavior, but we can provide tools for those who care, right? And I think that's the important thing, is that there needs to be a path for people who care about the truth. And those people are journalists. Those people are activists who are videotaping police brutality and maybe are having their phone snatched. Well, guess what? Yaza uploads the video off the phone as quick as it can. So if your phone is snatched, you still have the video. we have birders using it to mark locations of birds. So the mapping aspect is cool. The other thing that fascinated me was realtors who are using it to manage their contractors. And I was like, wait, how are you managing your contractor? Well, because it verifies the time and the location. At the end of each day, the contractor does a video and says, here's what I did today. And this is done. And I did the ceiling and I put in these lights. All these realtors run around from house to house every 2 days, checking up on their stagers and realtors and contractors to make sure the work is done. Contractors can fake a video, and it's complicated to often get a big video to somebody. But with Yaza, they just record it. It shows up at the location, and the realtor goes to the location. It's sitting there, and they get notified as well. And who knew that by authenticating time and place, we suddenly became a remote management tool. So we've discovered that there's all of these opportunities. But I really want to make the point that there's a lot of ways to use this app, and there's plenty of apps out there. And the last thing people need is another app, right? And they're really, but if they do need another app, one thing that we don't have out there is a map-based network that authenticates the content and shows you what places are really like and shows you what happened at places and guarantees that they're true. And I think that, I mean, think about stopping fraud with, now we're seeing TripAdvisor with fake reviews and everything like that. Think about the international home buying market. So that's just full of fraudsters. It's like, would you like to buy some land in the Everglades out there type of world?
I was reading a story about Airbnb where people who have a grudge against someone at an Airbnb, they fake a sloppy room, not even in that place, and then take a picture of it, a video, and then they post it as saying, like, this place was a mess when I got there. And the owner, that's not even our place, but it's right. There's all of that, and who's going to check? And you're just going to assume, okay, it's not that.
All right, so
apartment property managers, yeah. Like to that point, exactly. Property mm-hmm. managers, owners, they have move in and move out inspections every time that they've got to do. Keeping track of all of that, it's complicated, but you know,
Peter, we don't have that much time left, so I want you to talk about why it's important to have authenticated videos for travel.
Travel, I've had experiences where I, even recently, because TripAdvisor is so gamed now, and Yelp is so gamed now, I went to five-star reviewed, incredible reviewed places, a hotel, for example, in Milan, and it was nothing like. It was nothing like, and so we're back to that world. Like at first, the internet fixed that. You remember when you used to travel and you had to like rely on an agent and a brochure. All right, now we got the review sites, but they're being gamed. And so one thing that's true about video is there's nothing subjective. It's no interpretation. No one's writing down anything. It's literally, you can take it and interpret however you want, but video replaces our normal senses, right? It is the closest we get to being there. And so it's the most important thing, in my opinion, to authenticate, because people believe what they see. And if there isn't a way to at least counter some of this fake news with something that is proven and accepted as valid, in fact, Yaza videos are the only videos that can be instantly approved as evidence in court, because to be used in evidence in court, a cell phone video must establish who recorded it, where it was recorded, and when it was recorded. And if you can't prove that from that video, it's not admissible. And so there's all sorts of neat, I mean, it's really what we've discovered is a whole new market, which we're calling certified reality. And it's really about tamper-proof, authenticated content. And there are all sorts of ways to do it. And we're one of the companies that's fighting that battle, and we're doing it with video.
Okay, we're gonna stop on that note. And do we have time for a commercial, David? Can we get to it or no? How much time do we have? Yes, okay. So we couldn't be doing Lying on the Beach without this certified must-have. Kind of like certified reality, but it's a certified must-have. And that is, there we go. And seeing is believing in this case. That video of Lois demonstrating it is absolutely real. You can stick a handle stick onto your phone directly or onto your favorite case. And then once you have it, it turns into a great kickstand for vertical or horizontal. Plus, when it's not a kickstand, it's a great handle for holding your phone when you just want to hold your phone and walk around in the street and whatnot. There you go. Lois is demonstrating it, as always, very beautifully. And what's cool about it, it comes in more than 40 different styles. Lots of different looks to it. That's one of the very pretty ones right there that she's demonstrating. But you could also get a customized print. So you can take the logo of your business. You could have the Yaza logo or your logo or your favorite picture or your puppy or your favorite team or school and put it on the handle stick as well. Now, the most amazing thing about handle has to be what, David? David, what's the most amazing thing about the handle stick?
And it's only $10.
It's only $10. You can't beat that price. If you want more information on the handle stick, you just have to go to www.handle, that's H-A-N-D-L, New York, spelled out, .com. HandleNewYork.com. You'll see all the different styles. You'll see about the customization option. And I'm still waiting for when we get our lying on the beach handle stick, Lois. You were supposed to work on that. We still haven't gotten it. So you have to work on that. Anyway, Peter, I think we really covered this time-wise. Are we okay to say goodbye? Okay, so I'm going to say, Peter, thank you very much for joining us. We learned a lot. It seemed real. I hope this was all real. Maybe this was just part of some sort of, you know, fake video. None of us are really here because sometimes it feels like that for me.
You're in New York and David's in a palatial library in Switzerland. So, yeah.
And Lois is in an art gallery in Miami Beach and you're in a gorgeous apartment in San Francisco. So, once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Peter, for explaining this. And I'm Steve Greenberg with, obviously, Peter and with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And our engineer.
David Nieves.
And our guest.
Peter Sisson from Yaza, Y-A-Z-A.
Y-A-Z-A, and we have all been lying on the beach, on camera. So long, everybody. On camera, I said it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.